Chapter 1. Warmth and Wakefulness. It was not the usual matter of desperation that fueled me forward as I ran in the rain, heading toward my favorite coffee shop. Don't get me wrong, despite the early morning hours, I fully expected to be greeted with a steaming warm cup of coffee, one that was perfect for warding off the chill in the air. I knew I was going to need it to get through the day, and it was likely I was going to need the second or third cup I would leave with, too. But in recent months, coffee had become the secondary reason that I loved to stop in and sit for a while at Rachel's Cafe. It was not a love easily dethroned, either. Coffee had been my true love, until I'd found my true love. I glanced up to see the soft light coming from the room on the second floor. She's awake. I pushed open the back door to the small cafe and headed up the stairs, as silently as possible, and then all of a sudden there I was, standing in the doorway to her room. The echo of the rain was slightly louder, as the newly renovated wall in her room still needed some work. But the soft glow of her desk lamp was on, casting a small shadow of relief against the thunderstorm outside. Rhea. She was sitting on her bed, her eyes glowing with wakefulness as she remained curled up in the warmth of her covers. "What are you doing here, Hamilton?" she asked, her voice bracing against the subtlety of the night. There was no accusation in her tone, just surprise. "I wanted to check in on you," I admitted, suddenly feeling dumb.
"At 5:30 in the morning?" Rhea asked. "I know I told you I've been having trouble sleeping, but it's..."
"Sorry." I scratched my head, suddenly very aware of how wet and cold I was. "I had a dream about you. I wanted to make sure you were okay."
"So you ran all the way here?"
Rhea's lips curled into a thoughtful smile.
"You didn't want to call me?"
I considered arguing with her, which I would have delighted in, but thought the better of it. She was more beloved to me than arguing, too.
"No."
"No?"
"I wanted to see you." She pushed back her covers, allowing me a good grin at her fluffy pants pajamas, and came over to me.
"I'm glad you're here," she admitted. "And I would hug you, but you're all wet. Come on, I'll get you a towel and a cup of coffee."
"I feel like a king already," I said, although I probably looked more the part of the pauper. Even moments later, as my hands wrapped themselves tightly around my mug and a towel was draped over my shoulders, I felt more of the part of the humble and helpless, while I'd meant to be the hero.
"How's that?" she asked. "I can't imagine you're warmed up yet, but hopefully it'll help."
"You're the only ray of sunshine I need," I assured her. As she rolled her eyes and walked past me with a handful of creamers, I tugged on her shirt, pulling her in close.
"Thank you,"
I said, as I finally got to kiss her again. Rhea chuckled as she drew back.
"It's my pleasure."
"No, you're my pleasure," I replied, staring at her long enough to make her blush. She redirected me immediately. For all the brashness and boldness she had to stand up to me in my opinions, I knew and appreciated that Rhea had a modest side.
"Tell me about the dream you had. It must have been pretty bad if you're coming here this late," she prompted,
as she moved to the other side of the counter. I knew she was making some tea. She loved her espresso as much as I did, but she was more of a tea drinker in the mornings, and I loved her for it.
"Or should I say this early, since Rachel won't be here for another 2 hours?
"Letty won't wake up, will she?" I asked, suddenly dreading the thought of Rachel's old lady mother coming cranking down the stairs as we spent our time together.
"Not likely,"
Rhea said, effectively putting my shallow fears to rest.
"I've been taking the morning shifts here at the cafe since I dropped out of school. Aunt Letty doesn't usually wake up till noon anymore. Unless, of course, she hears me when I wake up in the middle of the night. But the rain should provide some cover tonight."
"I can't tell you how lucky you are getting to drop out," I said. "Even if AP Gov is not the same without you to argue with."
"I imagine it's much more peaceful,"
she said neutrally. "Peace might seem like an attractive offer," I said, "but I'll take arguing with you over semantics and historicity and context any day of the week."
"How is Mrs. Smythe?" Rhea asked. "Has she said anything else to you about Sword lately?"
"Not since January," I said. "Almost 2 months later, and nothing in all that time."
"She's not the only one who's gone quiet,"
Rhea said, as she sat down across from me. Her eyes fell to the seat that her grandfather, the esoteric and elusive Grandpa Odd, would sit in, and my reasons for scurrying over to see her immediately jumped to the forefront of my mind. I reached out for her hand. "Everything will be all right," I said. She squeezed my hand in return.
"I'm not sure you know that,"
she replied easily enough. She sipped from her own mug with a peace I envied. Rhea had a point, as she usually did, and it was a big one.